Welcome to the Why Not Today podcast, where we support entrepreneurs to take bold, clear steps to start a business, get unstuck, or grow with more clarity, confidence, and courage. I'm Leslie Kane, a courage coach and founder of the Why Not Today movement. I created this podcast in honor of my dad, Patrick Kane, who often said, "Why not today?" And now this has become a guiding question in my life and business. Each week, you'll hear solo episodes where I coach through common business challenges and guest interviews that go beyond inspiration to teach you what actually works. Whether you're launching something new or navigating a pivot, you'll leave each episode with a clear step and a reminder that you're not alone. Let's dive into the Why Not Today podcast that helps you grow with courage and by taking action. And as I mentioned every week, I do not edit these because it is a raw and honest conversation. We're authentic. And so today, my guest is Michael Rivero, and I met him at a networking event a couple months ago. Was very intrigued. He's a marketing guy, and then he did some training at the last event. I'm like, oh my goodness, you know your stuff. And I guess come direct as a connection of Rob with Kava Group.
Casa Group, yeah.
Casa Group. And Rob has been on the podcast as well, and I was on his podcast during COVID or pre-COVID, something a long time ago.
Nice.
Yeah, so Michael, introduce yourself. Tell us a little about who you are and a fun fact.
Well, first things first, I would say I'm a God-fearing man. I am a very intentional in every area of my life type of guy. But in layman's terms, from a professional standpoint, I would say I'm a marketer that figured out how to use a camera.
Okay.
A fun fact about me would probably be that I own north of 350 pairs of shoes. And that's really kind of how I also got my start in everything that I do today in marketing, sales, and branding.
That is awesome. And are they tennis shoes or just any kind of shoes?
Tennis shoes, huge. So I used to collect, I still do, collect like exclusive pairs from Jordan, like Nikes, Adidas, all of these brands. And people used to see me post pictures of them on Instagram and they would ask me if I sold them. So I did what any good entrepreneur would do. And I said yes. And then I went out and I figured it out, you know? Yeah, so
My
it's been.
nephew, when he was in high school, he was doing that and making good money.
Oh yeah, I mean you definitely make a lot of money. It was my first taste at entrepreneurship and delegation and team building. And then I learned really quickly that it can also be a very scary place once I had a gun pointed to my head because I got known as the guy that had all the sneakers. So that wasn't
Oh,
too fun.
wow.
Yeah.
That's scary.
It was
So,
scary.
what does courage mean to you, Michael? Other
Well,
than not selling tennis shoes anymore.
yeah, I think courage is the beginning of confidence, and to me, courage means doing the hard thing anyways. Funny enough, right? So the way Dan Sullivan, who's one of my mentors and I'm part of his coaching program, he says courage is knowing that. And I'm misquoting him, but he talks about courage in the sense of it means knowing that you're going to go to war, you're going to piss your pants, and you're still going to go anyways. So that's what courage would mean to me. And the reason why I share like the whole confidence thing is because I think in order to become confident at anything that you do, everything begins with courage, right? It's like having the courage to jump into a podcast and then making the commitment that I am going to show up and do this podcast on a weekly basis, which in turn is going to build some capabilities, whether it's around interviewing people or having really thoughtful conversations. And then I'll maybe then get confident after enough reps in this game. So, yeah, that's kind of how
Yeah.
I would define it for you.
Love that definition. I've never heard it put that way. And I've heard a lot of them. So, but yeah, it's so true. And I think that's part of the Why Not Today message. You just got to start because you're not going to be confident and courageous when you start, but you got to start.
100%.
And the only way you get good, and the analogy we talk about all the time. And I think you have a little one, don't you?
Yes. She's 10, she's 11 months old, going on to her
Okay.
first year
So
next month.
is she starting to walk?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, they walk, you applaud them, they fall down, they get up, they walk, you applaud them, they, take two more steps. And that's such a analogy of entrepreneurship. We're gonna fall down a lot. And that's really where I like to go in this podcast now is let's talk about the messy middle. So let's talk about your journey into entrepreneurship. So you started with tennis shoes. But did you have any why not today moments? Like you remember exactly where you were, what you're doing when you made a pivotal decision in your life that took it a whole different direction?
Well, yes, 100%. There's a couple of different stories in there that I could probably unpack. I'll take you back to the beginning when I was working at FedEx, at the FedEx Kinko's print shops at the time. And I had enough cash to start buying myself some shoes. And I would post pretty pictures of them on Instagram, which was starting to take off at the time. And people would ask me, like, hey, do you sell them? I said yes, but I was freaking out because I didn't know whether I was going to get them. But if I think about the why not today side of things, and that it was learning to become really resourceful in the moment, right? I had just committed. I had the courage to say yes. I made the commitment to go out and now figure things out, figure out this problem, because now I have people that are sending me money through PayPal and all of these different things. So at that point in time, I ended up driving like 30 miles north, south, east, and west just to see if I could go ahead and find their size and their pairs, so that I could go ahead and deliver on the service, on the promise that I made, you know. And along the way, of course, there were a lot of lessons, but I think that the biggest thing, fast forwarding all the way until I started like my current business, TPOS.ai, I think a messy middle and a why not today type of moment is anytime you get an opportunity to do something that is bigger and or outside of yourself. So most people get into business because they want to build something massive. They want to make profit on their own. They don't want to have bosses. I was working at a marketing agency. I was getting paid relatively well, with 250 clients that I was managing, about $5 million a month on ad spend. It was fantastic. And that's where I realized that I had this knack and understanding for marketing and sales, because everything that I had done in my previous life selling sneakers, I was already doing with and for these businesses. The only thing is that I learned the technical terms, you know. So when I realized that this was the case, and I was starting to get burnt out because we became this software company. So instead of helping the clients succeed, it became more so of like, hey, Leslie, are you using our product? What I realized is I need to just figure this out on my own. And I had some reserves. I put my 2 weeks notice, and then I called my mom and I said, hey, mom, I'm quitting. I am starting my own business. And as any well Latina mom would have received it, she started crying on the other side of the phone. And I thought that she was crying because I was going out on my own, betting on myself, and therefore no longer having any sense of certainty. But she was crying because she had just filed for divorce with my stepdad.
Oh, wow.
And that in and of itself was very, very messy, right? Because I just told her I'm about to bet on myself. And now the very first problem that arises is the house that I grew up in Manassas, Virginia, might be something that neither I or my mom have access to, because she might have to sell it, she might have to move. There's so many different situations that could have happened, so many what ifs. So when I think about what ifs, I also like to think about the what if it does work out?
That's exactly what I, if we're gonna tell ourselves a story, why don't you tell yourself a good story?
Exactly. And it's like you get to choose the narrative, right? So I said, what if it does work out? And if it were to work out, what would I have to do and what would need to be true? And at that moment in time, I realized that the people that I needed to serve and help were people inside of the real estate industry to begin with. That's how I ended up meeting people like Rob and people as such. But in that moment in time, I think, like when I think of the question, why not today, is why not bet on yourself today and every single day from this point forward? so that no matter what happens, you know for 100% fact that you are responsible for the outcomes that you're getting. And
Right.
for me, it was, I'm going to get into this industry. I have this expertise in marketing and digital and everything that I've been doing. And I'm just going to offer them my services for free in hopes that I can go ahead and find somebody that can then support and help my mom. And I just approached it with that mindset. And thankfully so, through a client of ours, his name is Eric Spencer. He's a loan officer. He was able to connect with my mom. They helped her refinance the home. She didn't have to sell it, nothing like that. She did it under her name, ended up paying far less in mortgage, in her mortgage anyways, which was great. And for me, it was a realization of there are so many people that are so uneducated in the space of particularly the real estate space, because I had no idea what a realtor did. I didn't even know what a loan officer did, nor had I ever heard of those terms, because I had never looked into it.
Right.
And it gave me a sense of responsibility to go out and help these people build businesses where they educate more people about what it is that they actually do. Because they had just helped the number one person in my life at the time, which still like top three, right? My mom. So it just became very intentional, very purposeful. So I think anybody that thinks, why not today? It's what's beyond yourself.
And I totally agree. And I think my trajectory is similar and different, that I had started a direct selling business and was working full time and decided this is a much better world and not being told what to do. My dad was an entrepreneur, so I watched that. And so I quit my job without any plan B, or I hadn't replaced that income, but I knew I could work. And if it didn't work out, I would just get another job. I
Exactly.
called my mother and she called me every day going, "Are you sure you want to do this?" But I was like, "You know what? It'll work out." And things started falling in my lap, happening. And 6 months later, my dad had a major stroke at a wedding in south 4 hours south of us. And I was able to stop everything because I had quit my job 6 months before and be there at the hospital. He was in rehab for months, and I was able to be there with him 3 days a week because the rest of my family was working. And if I hadn't taken that leap, I never would have been able to do it. So, and you know, being able to bet on yourself, you know, we live in Northern Virginia. There's so many government employees, and I quit my job 26 years ago, so it's been a long time. And so many people are like, "Doesn't that scare you to work for yourself and be responsible?" I'm like, "No, I am in control, and if I want to work and make money, I know how to do it. And I can bet on myself," like you said, as opposed to, you know, those government jobs, which until a few months ago were safe or aren't. You know, you're not guaranteed a job tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, there's been so many instances where things just went sideways. And so I know I can bet on myself. And I love that terminology that, you know, we're in charge.
100%. And I mean, what's good is always available, and so is what's bad, right? And I think that anybody that fears betting on themselves is because they have a certain craving for certainty. But I can tell you this for certain, that anything that you want to change and you're not actively changing, you're choosing, so you can't really also complain about it. You know, so for me, it's very much so, if I'm going to take this leap of faith, why not go all in? Because I already know what the alternative is. You just said it. It's like I can always go back and get a job, but I'm never going to find out what I'm truly capable of doing for myself and with myself if I don't take that leap.
And being able to take the lid off that corporate America tries to put on us, the title, the position, the you know, you can't do this, but when you own your own business, you can craft it as you want. And that's why I'm so passionate about this podcast and message. Like, people need to do what they love. And, you know, the Why Not Today movement is to inspire people to live their life, to be brave, and to pursue their dreams.
I love that, as it
Yeah.
should be.
And yeah. And so let's talk about, okay, you started this business. What do you wish you would have known before you started?
A
What did
couple of things. I think what I wish I would have known is, well, first things first, I went into it with a 10-year timeline. So
That in itself is amazing, and congratulations, because most people think short term.
No, I went into it with a 10-year timeline, and I said, I'm going to give myself 10 years, and if in 10 years this doesn't work out, then I know for a fact I'm going to find out very early on if it's going to be shorter than 10 years. And if in 10 years I am not in a much better place financially, physically, mentally, spiritually, then I did something seriously wrong and I deserve what I get.
So how many years are you in?
So right now we're on our 5th year of business. So we started late 2019, but 2020 was really where we started taking on clients. We're in our 5th year. And part of what I wish I would have learned early on, or would have known early on, is like systematize your business as early as possible, right? Because what we did is through the COVID years, every single human being had money and was investing. So we saw a 0 to 3 million in no time. And then as soon as the market corrected itself, we saw a huge crash and we didn't know what to do or how to deal with it. It got to the point where at the time I had a business partner. We had basically hired ourselves out of a job. And we were like, cool, the business can run itself, but we didn't have systems in place. We didn't have SOPs in place. And we didn't have a structure for the vision to continue driving itself, whether we were a part of it or not. So I wish I would have known that much. And then beyond that, I think it's just very important in understanding that in order to have really big yeses, you also have to be willing to have really big nos. And more often than not, when you're scrambling for every single dollar that you're going to make as a business owner, you tend to say yes to a lot of things that are not in alignment with you. So when I started doing that, I started noticing that things on my plate just kept getting heavier. Instead of taking on projects, which I knew that I was not only bringing an immense amount of value to the people that I was serving, but in that process, I was also becoming a better entrepreneur in person, you know? So I wish somebody would have sat there and told me earlier on, like, hey, if you define specifically who you're going to go after and you're willing to say no to 9 out of every 10 people so that you get the right one, you're going to see how much better your business will be, how much more money you will make, how much happier and how much more at peace you will also be every single night before you go to bed. You know, but these are the things
True.
that I think are just like the rolling punches of business.
Yeah.
And
And
then
that's, we all have to go through and learn them, but I hope in doing this podcast that I was able to help other people to say, oh, I need to do that. I never thought that thought. I talked to somebody yesterday who was retired, one of the owners of Life is Good, that brand. And he said they had very strict values. And if it didn't align, like there was, one of their things is high quality t-shirts, and lots of people like big box stores wanted to sell their stuff, and for they would have made lots of money, but on cheaper quality, they're like, no, a
Yeah,
hard no.
you have to understand what's in alignment with you and make sure that the people that you're bringing on and that you bring along the way are also in alignment with you, you know, because
Yeah, absolutely. That's the other thing he said. Know your values and have not just the people working with you. But if you're working with vendors, that they know your values and they're aligned with them.
very true. Very true. Yeah, one of the big things, one of our core values is driven by purpose and collaboration, like purposeful collaboration. So anybody that we work with, it's like it has to be a win-win-win across the board,
Right.
because otherwise it just doesn't make sense. Again, instead of taking on the yes for the dollar in the moment, we would much rather say yes because it makes sense collaboratively. It's energizing both of us. But these are the things that people don't often find out early enough, you know?
Right.
And the last thing I wish somebody would have told me is that a partnership is like a marriage.
So
So
true.
if you're going to be married to a business partner, then make sure that they also have the same kind of timeline as you do. You know, I'm very grateful for everything that I had a business partner through and for. End of the day, I knew that we were going to have good times and bad times. And I was very okay with having bad times because I knew that right after bad times, really good times come. But it wasn't necessarily reciprocated the exact same way. So I wish if I would have gone back earlier on, I would have asked some of those tougher questions of like, what happens when we're at zero again? You know, do we get back up or do we pick up and run? And so It's some of those little things that I again most definitely wish I would have identified earlier on.
So, is there anything in particular that you're so glad you didn't know? Like, you may not have started if somebody told you.
Yes, the entrepreneurs are lazy.
I
I am so
know.
glad that I didn't know that other people that were betting on themselves supposedly were going to inherently be lazier than me. And I say that with a grain of salt and no disrespect to anybody that's an entrepreneur that's listening to this. But the reality is, if you want a result and you're not willing to put the blood, sweat, and tears necessary behind it in order to achieve that result, then you don't want it bad enough. For me, it's I want the results so much for you that I am going to push you all the way until you are ready to get it. But it really boils down to having an identity shift and realizing what success truly means to you. So when I got started, I started in the real estate industry. The average real estate agent makes less than $56,000 a year. I did not know that. I wish I would have known. I did
There's
not.
only a few that are successful.
Exactly. So I didn't know that much, and I kept saying yes to the wrong people, and I kept iterating my business for the people that kept leaving me. And I didn't understand why I was doing those things until finally somebody said to me, "You keep doing this for the people that leave you." But in reality, you have to understand that you want the result more for them than they want it for themselves. So in reality, you're in this transformation type of business where either they're going to identify with what success looks like to them or they're not. And I'm glad I didn't know that because it's taken me on a journey of self-betterment and self-discovery that now allows me to do the same exact thing with my clients, you know?
Love that, and so true. And I've lived through that with my Mary Kay business, wanting it more than people. And you can't. They gotta want it. And
It's an
it does
identity thing.
take work. And then I think that's one of the answers I get more often from people is that in real, if they knew how much they would have to work, then they may not have started. Because it's not easy.
I mean,
But
you can't say I want to live this life and not be willing to work for it. You know, there's so many
totally
people
agree.
now that I have a baby, I understand this so much better is every single one of us that has kids or a family member or a loved one, we say, man, I would take a bullet for that person. I would die for that person. Yeah, but would you work on your dreams for that person? Would you go to the gym for that person? Would you eat healthy? Would you build some discipline? Because I think that's where the true payoff comes in when you're actually giving your best each and every single day so that the people around you benefit from you know?
Totally agree. Well, we're almost out of time, and I still want to pick your brain a little bit on this marketing because you do have an amazing marketing brain, and we got to sit down and talk about my business. But in just a few minutes, what is philosophy on marketing, or what are some tips for maybe newer entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs that are stuck? And I know marketing's such a big world and a scary world. And I know a friend of mine, she's like, and marketing people lie. Because they're going to tell you, get all these things that are going to happen, and they can't guarantee all those things.
That's why I
But
don't make any guarantees to my clients. When they tell me what can you guarantee, I typically say, I guarantee that both you and I will someday die. Will someday
there you
die.
go.
That's the only thing I could guarantee. But if I were to tell anybody like principles of marketing, the way that marketing is being sold today is
And let me ask
absolutely.
you, let me go back one question. I know you read a lot and you're very educated that way, but do you have a degree in marketing? Do you have, or did you get on just by doing it?
I learned in the school of hard knocks, you know.
Okay. And I
It's
can tell. And that's probably a better place.
one of my friends, Gogo Bethke, she said the reason why this comes so natural to you and you don't value it is because you are just with this natural instinct towards it. So you need to charge more because you don't value it as much as some of us would pay you for. So I raised my prices. But
Well, I want to work with you before you raise them too high.
let's do it. But for me, I think the way that marketing is being sold today is completely bogus and it's very backwards. Most businesses, most marketers do in fact lie only to make sure that they're able to secure the deal. It's not in any sort of ill intent to harm a business, because in fact, I believe that we are trying to help the business. But marketing is what you do in order to get in front of the prospect or clients. And sales is what you do once you have the clients and prospects right in front of you. I think most entrepreneurs think that marketing brings you closed deals. That's not true. Marketing brings the customers in through the door, and then it is you and or your team that are going to sell the business all the way through. But the problem is that most people are selling marketing from the perspective of you need to get attention first. You need to build hype and awareness and interest, and then you need to pinpoint the desires that people have, and maybe then you can get them to take action. But that's absolutely wrong. I think you can go about it in a faster, much easier, better way. You could go ahead and identify who you want to go after and make sure that you speak their language as it relates to their desired outcome and the pain points that they're trying to get rid of. Advertise heavily to them. And by advertise, I don't just mean investing dollars into it. You could do advertising by door knocking. There's so many different avenues of advertising, but advertise in such a way that you get more people to raise their hands for the thing that you're currently offering. The thing that you're offering, you start building your brand in or around the solutions that people are raising their hands for. Too many people try to complicate it by building this crazy sort of campaign, when in reality, if the only campaign you were to do is the one that gets people to tell you, like, hey, I'm interested in your stuff, then you know for a fact what kind of content, what kind of brand you can create to support that. But people do it all the way backwards. And I think, again, if you just understand who your ideal prospect is, advertise to them, follow up with them, and then answer their questions repeatedly through content and your brand. That's the winning strategy that, at the very least, it's working for me, it's working for my clients and the people that I get to serve.
And where, what areas do you use Instagram? But do you, are you doing paid ads? Are you
Yeah,
doing
so
kind of?
I am very my number one platform for the past, intentionally so, because I've always seen Instagram as being a business card, has been, my Instagram account. I have about 100,000 followers there, and it's all been
Wow.
built through organic content, influencer marketing, and paid ads, right? But I've stuck there, and now I'm finally lucky enough to be in a position where that's organically going to continue growing with and for me, coupled with the paid ads, of course. But now I also get to start playing in the realm of YouTube. So too many people try to be as omnipresent as they can possibly be. And even though that's some of the same stuff that I used to preach to businesses, like, while it's good for you to be in as many platforms as possible, if you can have the one drive traffic to the others, like, that's excellent. So I have clients that are crushing it on Facebook. I have clients that are killing it on TikTok. I have clients that are killing it on LinkedIn, on YouTube. It's just a matter of where is the ideal client profile for you that is going to take the next logical step, you know?
Totally agree. And stay in the lane too. I think that's the problem. You know, we try playing here and doing, and then you're not doing anything well.
Well, that's entrepreneurship, right? Like,
No,
entrepreneurship
so
is
true.
us having shiny object syndrome. But the way that I've learned to block that off, because I also have that. Like, I just had one of my best friends earlier text me. He said, "You want to start an e-com brand?" And my first answer was yes. And then I said, "Yes, but," and I took that energy and I said, "I need to create these ads for my business. I need to create an offer for my brand first." So I allocate that shiny object syndrome energy towards more advertising marketing for my existing offer instead of trying to be too many businesses at once. It's like, you can't be a car, a bike, and a plane at the same time.
So true. And yeah, that I always say that's my strength is my creativity, and that is my kryptonite.
Yeah, it's
Many ideas.
I had to make a decision with that, and it's like, where can I what drives me, what drives my business more? Is it my strategic thinking or my creative thinking? And I love my creative thinking, but now I reserve my creative thinking for advertising my business while I grow it strategically. And so when you have that, and then you find an occasional outlet with one avenue, project, or person that you can tap into that creativity, like, you get your fix anyways.
Yeah, that's very smart. So, well, this has been awesome. So, as we wrap up, anything you want to share to encourage with people, entrepreneurs starting businesses, or encourage with marketing? Maybe that's a better thing to encourage them with.
Well, I
Another
will.
tip.
I'll take you back to the very first question that you asked me, which is what does courage mean to you? Actually, it was the second question. What does courage mean to you? I will tell you this, and this has been very true for me. A bigger future does not begin without present courage.
Love that.
And so, whatever it is that that bigger future looks like for you, you need to have a certain degree of present courage to move in that direction, because unless you're dying on that hour, chances are that you're going to be okay if you just give yourself enough of a push to say, why not today?
Exactly. Well, that is a perfect place to finish. So I
Yes,
think we could have
ma'am.
gone on and on and on, and I might need to get you as a guest for my luncheon too to share your wisdom. But I definitely need you. So we need to talk. But thank you for all your wisdom, and I love your journey and cheering you on. You're doing great things. So
I appreciate you,
congratulations.
Leslie. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you everybody for joining us on the Why Not Today podcast, your space for practical tools, real encouragement, and courageous growth. Whether you're launching something new or navigating a pivot, I hope you're leaving today's episode with a clear next step and a reminder that you're not alone. If you're ready to take the next step and need some support, you can reach out to me on whynottodaymovement.com. And this podcast is your bridge from inspiration to action. I'm here to walk with you every step of the way. And if this episode spoke to you, share it with a friend, subscribe, and leave a review. And remember, you don't have to have it all figured out. You just need one next brave step. And why not today? Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
Bye.